It's meant to be the compass that guides us in the storms of life. This is the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind, and coming to you from Riverside, California, podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is a daily podcast, and we're reading the entire Bible in a year. How are you today? Welcome. The website, by the way, is lifespringmedia.com. Hey, guess what? It's National Cookie Day, as if any kind of sweets need promotion in the month of sugar plum fairies and candy canes. This is also Poetry Thursday, and we're reading Job 13 and 14. Before we get started, remember the LifeSpring Why Christmas Show. It runs every day until Christmas. If you like Christmas, and who doesn't, be sure to subscribe. And speaking of Christmas, a brand new episode of Verses We Missed was published yesterday. Title of the show is Luke 24:27. The story was pointing to him all along. Sound interesting? Go listen. All right, let's begin. Our Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would be with us today. We thank you for your word, and we ask you, Lord, to teach us as we read. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Job chapter 13. Job continues. My eye has certainly seen all of this. My ear has heard and understood it. After all, I know it as well as you do. I am not inferior to you. However, I want to speak to the Almighty, and I wish to argue my case in front of God. But you are smearing me with lies. All of you are worthless physicians. I wish you would keep silent. For you, that would be wisdom. Please listen to my argument and pay attention to my plea. Will you talk wickedly for God and talk deceitfully on his behalf? Will you favor him as if you were arguing in court on God's behalf? Will it go well when he cross-examines you? Will you try to trick him as one mortal tricks another? Will he really defend you if you secretly favor him? Doesn't his majesty terrify you? Doesn't the fear of him fall upon you? Your recollections are worthless proverbs. Your answers are absolutely useless. Be quiet, because I want to speak. Let whatever may happen to me happen. I am biting off more than I can chew and taking my life in my own hands. If God would kill me, I would have no hope left. Nevertheless, I will defend my behavior to his face. This also will be my salvation, because no godless person could face him. Job speaks to God. Listen carefully to my words. Hear my declaration. I have prepared my case. I know that I will be declared righteous. Who can make a case against me? If someone could, I'd be silent and die. Please don't do two things to me so that I won't have to hide from you. Stop oppressing me. Don't let your terror frighten me. Then call, and I'll answer. Otherwise, I'll speak, and you'll answer me. How many crimes and sins have I committed? Make me aware of my disobedience and my sin. Why do you hide your face from me and consider me your enemy? Are you trying to make a fluttering leaf tremble or trying to chase dry husks? You write down bitter accusations against me. You make me suffer for the sins of my youth. You put my feet in shackles. You follow my trail by engraving marks on the soles of my feet. I am like worn-out wineskins, like moth-eaten clothes. Job chapter 14. Man born of woman is short of days and full of trouble. He blossoms like a flower, then withers. He flees like a shadow and does not last. Do you really take notice of one like this? Will you bring me into judgment against you? Who can produce something pure from what is impure? No one. Since man's days are determined and the number of his months depends on you, and since you have set limits he cannot pass, look away from him and let him rest, so that he can enjoy his day like a hired hand. There is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its shoots will not die. If its roots grow old in the ground, and its stump starts to die in the soil, the smell of water makes it thrive and produce twigs like a sapling. But a man dies and fades away. He breathes his last. Where is he? As water disappears from the sea, and a river becomes parched and dry, so man lies down, never to rise again. They will not wake up until the heavens are no more. They will not stir from their sleep. If only you would hide me in Sheol and conceal me until your anger passes. If only you would appoint a time for me and then remember me. When a man dies, will he come back to life? If so, I would wait all the days of my struggle until my relief comes. You would call, and I would answer you. You would long for the work of your hands. For then you would count my steps, but would not take note of my sin. My rebellion would be sealed up in a bag, and you would cover over my iniquity. But as a mountain collapses and crumbles, and a rock is dislodged from its place, as water wears away stones and torrents wash away the soil from the land, so you destroy a man's hope. You completely overpower him, and he passes on. You change his appearance and send him away. If his sons receive honor, he does not know it. If they become insignificant, he is unaware of it. He feels only the pain of his own body and mourns only for himself. In chapter 13, Job speaks to God. His prayer begins humbly. He says, "Listen carefully. Hear what I have to say. I've thought about my case, and I think I'll be found righteous." Then he asks God to stop oppressing him, and he asks him not to frighten him. The next thing he says is kind of bold. He says, "Call and I'll answer. But if you don't, I'll speak and you'll answer me." I'm not sure I'd make that challenge to the one who holds the universe in his hand, but he proceeds to make his case to God, whom he is convinced has unjustly brought all these mishaps upon him. He thinks God is being unfair, and he wants an answer. When we're in the midst of suffering, our thinking can really get confused, can't it? It's hard to think clearly when we're in pain, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual. That's one of the reasons God gave us His Word. It's meant to be the compass that guides us in the storms of life, when we are unable to get our bearings from what we can see or think. When all seems hopeless, when it feels as if God is far away, His Word tells us that He does not change, that all things work together for those who are called, and that He is love. Those promises, beloved, never change, despite any turmoil that we're in. Never judge any situation by what you feel. Feelings lie. The heart is a deceiver. God's word is true. He is the rock of our salvation. And then in chapter 14, Job talks about the frailty of man, the short time that he is here on earth, and the fact that once he's gone, he'll not return. Job ends with the idea that once we're gone, we'll not even know what becomes of our children. That makes me think that as a parent, I pray for and I'm concerned for my kids and their kids. But the fact is, their destiny is beyond my control. Just as I had to decide whether or not I would follow Christ, they must make their own decisions. I do my best to be a good example for them, and I do my best to lay a godly foundation for them to build on. But their relationship with God, or lack of it, is between them and God. I have to put them in God's hands and trust them to His love. Job was right. We live in a fallen, dying world where the cares and struggles of life never end. We seem to go from one difficulty to another. Life is not easy. And I, for one, am content with the few days we have here on earth and look forward, like Job did, to answering God when He calls me home. Not that I'm in a hurry, but I won't go kicking and screaming. I look forward to being in His loving embrace.
LifeSpring Family Hotline, 951-732-8511.
LifeSpring Family, Family Hotline, 951-732-8511.
Beloved, the LifeSpring one-year Bible Rewind relies on your support, not advertising. Advertising is a form of censorship. The Word of God will not be censored on this show, so to pay the bills, value for value is the only way this works. You decide if the show has value. If it does, all I do is ask you to return a portion of that value back to me in the form of time, talent, or treasure. To learn more about how that works, go here.
LifeSpringMedia.com/support.
I'll thank you, and I believe that God will bless you.
On this day in church history, December 4th, we look at three events from December 4th that show how God has shaped the church through monks, revivalists, and musicians. On December 4th in the year 1110, when Bernard of Clairvaux, along with about 30 friends and family members, entered the Cistercian monastery at Citeaux, Bernard was young, brilliant, and passionate, and he longed for a deeper, more disciplined life of devotion to Christ. That decision launched one of the most influential ministries of the Middle Ages. Bernard became a powerful preacher, a counselor to kings and popes, a reformer, and a hymn writer, and his devotional works still shape Christian spirituality today. His life reminds us that heartfelt devotion to Christ has the power to influence generations. And now we go to 1845, when Charles Finney became president of Oberlin College in Ohio. He had already been a key figure in the Second Great Awakening, calling people to repentance and challenging them to make a decisive commitment to Christ, and as president, he helped turn Oberlin into a center of revival, abolitionism, and theological training. It became one of the first colleges in America to admit women and black students on equal terms, a powerful testimony to the belief that the gospel must always work itself out in justice and compassion. And finally, we come to 1878, when Ira D. Sankey debuted the hymn The 90 in 9 at a Moody evangelistic service in Edinburgh. Sankey composed the melody on the spot after D.L. Moody handed him a poem moments before the service began. The hymn immediately struck a chord with the crowd and went on to become one of the most beloved gospel songs of the revival era. Sankey's music helped millions understand that God seeks the one who is lost and brings him home with joy. His partnership with Moody helped shape the sound of modern evangelistic ministry. Well, Bernard shows us the strength of deep devotion. Finney shows us that revival changes both hearts and communities. And Sankey reminds us of the shepherd who still goes after the ones who wander. Comment on the show at comment.lifespringmedia.com or email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or call the Lifespring Family Hotline. I'll read or play some of your comments on the show. I do want to hear from you. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thanks for being here. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.
Lifespring Media, bringing the message of hope, love, and good news since 2004.
The LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind is a LifeSpring Media production hosted by Steve Webb, the OG Godcaster since 2004.